welcome. It's another podcast, Pill Droid, and happy International Podcast Day. Belatedly, it was yesterday. What day is Sunday? Did you celebrate it in style?
Every day is International Podcast Day. Yes.
I no longer these days have any time to listen to any others, sadly. So yeah, it's Russell and it's
Gareth
and Rich.
So it's a leaner, smaller podcast, unlike how you were describing Joe Ledley a moment ago. After
I wasn't going to broadcast that because it felt a bit unkind, and I think after all that time out without a club, an extra pound or two is fair enough. Good actually that he's fatty. Picked up a club, and within a week or two, he's playing 90 minutes a couple of times.
That's
cool. Positive. And he scored the other day, didn't he? And he was not bad against us at City on the weekend.
He had a good welcome.
Yeah, I read earlier that the Derby fans were a bit upset that he applauded the Cardiff fans. I think there was a cheeky eye toller in there somewhere. But
yeah, they should probably just relax.
Yeah,
somewhat,
I think very much so.
Really?
It's when he applauds the Nottingham Forest fans, that's when he might have to worry. And they might have some sort of grounds. Because, I mean, there was lots of sort of little whispers that he was going to sign for City.
Yeah, it's disappointing that didn't happen.
I've read, I mean, it's like, you know, it's one or two tweets, but a couple of people kind of a bit annoyed that he priced himself out of the move, apparently, and was demanding too much.
I read that there was never any offer.
And that Warnock, Danny Gabron was talking about it on Call Rob a few weeks ago, and he was quite candid, actually, and he was sort of like, well, never really kind of on Warnock's radar, but might have been if other moves didn't come off, but the move never really happened. But apparently, I think he might have come down and trained
right
a bit while he was back in Cardiff for a bit.
Well, he wouldn't represent value for money, realistically, given the kind of the restrictions they've got. Yeah. But, I mean, I think from our point of view, he's got a club, like you were saying, Gareth, and he's playing, and that's all he needs, really.
Because he was in the last squad, but he didn't figure at all. And I thought if he still hasn't signed by the time the next squad's announced, there's no point taking him, and he's probably good around the camp, and he's good in the dressing room and all those sorts of cliches, but if he's not going to play last time, a month ago, he's not going to play this time without a club. So he's just taking up someone's spot in there.
I think there was enough on Saturday to suggest that he's a realistic possible starter. I wouldn't say it was vintage Ledley, but the things he did playing his kind of basic game, he did fine.
Yeah.
And you know, we're not flush with options to come into that role. We've tried King and Edwards and whatever, and it's always kind of unspectacular. Yeah. 6 or 7s out of 10s, isn't it? And if he turns up to camp looking fit, I think Coleman's got every reason to sort of chuck him in.
Over the course of two games, I mean, he'll be good for some involvement, definitely. I think, I mean, if we're kind of looking to protect a 2-0 against Ireland, he's on the bench. He's a good solid option to bring on.
We've gone straight into it. I've got loads of housekeeping to cover. Last week went up to Merthyr Town, watched an academy side play Barry's academy side, and I hadn't quite realised that's a rivalry, that's a thing, Merthyr Barry. And had a very pleasant evening indeed with Mark and with Hulby and Jamie at the Parkview Martyrs. Parkview really has to be seen and visited to be believed, turning into a bit of a sort of like Merthyr kind of casual type sort of thing. There's lots of stickers and away flags. There was a Hazen Yedding scarf and a Queen's Park shirt. There's a little bit more about the affiliation between Merthyr and Queen's Park. But no, that was a lot of fun. And huge flags, the biggest football flag I've ever seen. Neither Cardiff nor Swansea, but international Merthyrism. And it's a black and white rather than a white and green background with the dragon on it. And we were talking about the club. We live in a bit of Atalanta, which is just past the 30th anniversary of them beating Atalanta in the Cup and his Cup. Wales away in the 80s and early 90s. And so that was a lot of fun. There's a blog about debutant goal scorers inspired by Ben Woodburn and other players that scored on their debut, and a lot of our best greatest ever players didn't. Rushy didn't. And in the course of the research, I found out it took Rush 8 games to get off the mark for Wales.
Right.
Yeah. Mark Hughes scored on his debut. Earnshaw did. And a quick shout out for the Gold Cymru crowd who are driving all the way for Llandaff and Hengoed all the way to Tbilisi in Georgia ahead of the game with cars full and rammed with things to donate for sort of orphanages and children's homes over there. And a big shout out to Ewan Williams, who ran Cardiff Half Marathon today to raise money for Gold Cymru. I think I noticed he set a personal record.
Very well done.
You do stupid runs sometimes, guys. You didn't.
I did that particular stupid run last year, and I couldn't quite
didn't fancy it again.
Energise myself for this year.
I think that's everything. So, Rich, you called it a couple of podcasts ago that we win all 4, 2 down, 2 to go. Still in it, leaped above Ireland last time.
I mean, it feels good to be right for many reasons. I'm satisfied. The performances are kind of secondary. I mean, they haven't been brilliant performances. I mean, complete performances, definitely not. But it's just at the kind of the tail end, like the kind of championship rounds and stuff, we just get the result.
Yeah.
And I think we're in a better position now. I mean, clearly we are points-wise, but in terms of, I guess, like the rhythm of the squad is back, having won two games. Not conceded any goals, which I think is like huge. Still, you know, we haven't developed in terms of like a creative sense so much, but I think it's too late to change that now, so you just keep on going and just get over the line, I think.
Yeah, they have so little time with the players. The number of times that I think any side, certainly at our level, I mean, you know, your Germans now, I guess, are different clearly, blow sides where putting those complete performances, they're ever so rare.
Mm.
And I suppose arguably could happen in spite of having so little time.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know, serendipitous things or whatever, as opposed to responding to any particular input from the coaches, I don't know, but it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, I mean, I think it's just, it's all about the result, always. Yeah. It's going to be tense, like there's no getting away from that, but I'm confident. Probably, realistically, the away game is the tougher of the two, I think. But that being said, the result, if we get the result in the away game, can't see Ireland being able to stop us. I cannot envisage that.
I mean, one thing I brought up last time was the danger for us if Ireland was to come to Cardiff only needing a draw. The last round of fixtures has helped us out in a big way with that, because Ireland are almost certainly going to come to Cardiff having to win, especially if we win in Georgia. And that'll suit us well, I think. I would like to see us a little bit more ruthless. I think before the last couple of games, you know, we just have to say it's four whole games. You can't really look at that as a whole. It's too much. You had to take it a game at a time. And yeah, we got through those two games and the results were good, but very nervous a couple of times. I missed the last podcast, but the one thing I was going to mention about the sort of Moldova game was that if you played that injury time, we concede a goal 9 times out of 10 if we play injury time exactly like that, never mind getting our second. So in these two games now, where we know, you know, so it's a much smaller thing now, two games right next to each other, we want to go and win them both. When we get our noses in front, assuming we do, let's shut the games down and let's be a little bit more ruthless. And perhaps not, you know, in a similar sort of vein of that sort of thing. You know, let's take a chance earlier on. Let's not rely on a 17-year-old moment of magic, beautiful as it was, to kind of get those wins. You know, I'd like us to see us score a lot earlier against Georgia, you know, and show that we can dominate a game. And
I agree. It's kind of like, for me, it's like tournament football now. It's kind of similar to the Euros, that environment where it's two games, you've got to win them. And it's kind of how you go about that could be different. There'll be they tailor plans for every single game, but it'll be super specific for these two because there's a clear objective that has to be met. And the players are going to thrive off that, I think.
I agree with you in terms of what you're saying, Kez, about the extra time. But on that basis, 9 times out of 10, they're a dreadful keeper. He doesn't get away with a couple of the parries, and there was that one that gets cleared off the line. Then a little bit of anxiety crept in, and they're not as good as Georgia, but then Georgia struggled to beat them. Failed to beat them. So
I guess that's kind of my point, that's about them, and overall you're absolutely right, you know, we're a better team than them, we deserve to beat them. But let's think about us. When we're in front, we shouldn't look threatened in stoppage time by that team, and we need to learn from that. If we weren't allowed going into stoppage time in Georgia, you know, Georgia are that bit better, they're that bit more clinical, we need to be able to show we can keep the ball, you know, we know how to manage the game.
The key thing there is he made offensive substitutions in order to get our noses in front.
That's fair enough.
And then you're kind of like, okay, we have to, you know, we were then light in midfield, and I don't think we necessarily played it particularly smartly either, but no, I agree with you. The key thing is getting the noses in front, with your starting 11, maybe a substitution. If you're having to kind of empty the bench and chuck on your big guns or chuck on the artillery in order to score, and then you haven't held it, that'd be a worry.
And I've already made the big assumption that we go in front in the first place in these kind of games, which is very unlikely.
And they made us look silly in Cardiff, didn't they, Georgia, on a few occasions?
Yeah.
And we were lucky to draw.
Yeah,
totally. But I mean, there was something missing in terms of intensity, intensity and kind of focus and concentration.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt this was a relatively easy group, and potentially there was an element of that with the players. Of course, they were all concentrating, but there's that kind of extra level, that kind of tournament level, clearly wasn't there, because it was like, oh, we've got all of these games ahead of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a different game now. It's completely different.
Well, the further you go through a campaign like this one, the longer ago the Euros was, and the nearer a World Cup, which we may or may not qualify is, and that's got to focus the mind a little bit, isn't it? Yeah.
So, in terms of the squad, there's obviously a couple of obvious sort of talking points, but quick shout out from Leon's behalf, Chris Maxwell's finally got a call up and celebrated it by almost assaulting a striker.
Yeah.
So who were they playing? Who were Preston playing? It was 2-2 draw, wasn't it?
Oh, you know what?
Can't think who it was now.
No.
Almost as many offences as possible in one action or one incident.
But this is what it means to players these days, to play for Wales.
Yeah,
you can just all that frustration and craziness.
It gives you the excitement.
But we laugh, we joke, obviously, and it's tongue-in-cheek, but there's something in that insofar as players are now having to, some players, are having to really work hard. They've got to put in performance after performance. So, you know, Adam Davis has had that third spot. I think Danny Ward is nailed on now as a second choice, obviously. But, you know, other keepers have had that third slot. Owen Vaughan Williams obviously has had it. Carl Leatherman's had it. Mm. Players know they've got to keep putting in performances to get. And there's players who usually were getting automatic positions. Those kind of like 20 to 23, you know, 18 to 23, those positions. David Cottrell, who's going to get a call up, you know, nine times out of 10. There's a lot of competition now. First sort of eight is nailed on anyway, don't get me wrong. But those sort of next 10 berths in the squad, if you like, there's competition there, let alone at the bottom.
It's interesting that we talked a while ago about the evolution of the squad and players that might come through, and there were a lot of fans bemoaning Coleman's loyalty to players or him not necessarily calling up the youngsters. But looking at the squad now, I don't think there was a point at which Coleman said, well, I wasn't really doing it before, but I am going to do it now. I think it happens really naturally, and I think the squad kind of shows that. I don't think there was ever any need to be worried about where the fresh blood might come in. I thought Woodburn has forced himself in. Brooks has forced himself in because of the way they are at their clubs. Maxwell's form, okay, it's taken a bit longer, but you know, he's got in. Watkins to a point as well. So I think we're seeing now, and you were talking a bit beforehand, Russ, about the average age of the squad, which has been young for a while. But players are coming in now that's maintaining that and keeping that the case.
Yeah, we're saying, looking at it, there's only four in their 30s. And it probably would have been five if James Collins was fit. And you assume that he'd have probably replaced either Lockyer or Ampadu. Lockyer's 22, Ampadu's 17. Born in the year 2000, just to chuck that out there. I haven't done the maths, I don't know what the average age is, but I'd be amazed if that's older than 26. 27 tops, just looking at it. But it's interesting to say, you know, it is now tournament football, it's the business end of a group, and he's announced a squad that's got 5 uncapped players in it. Woodburn's only got 2 caps, Ward's got 3 caps, and one of those uncapped players is the third choice goalkeeper, fine, but it has sort of happened. None of those feel like they're real wild card left field picks. They seem to be there on merit. Because, I mean, Ampadu's had game time for Chelsea, which I wasn't expecting for another couple of seasons, frankly. They just disappear into the whole kind of machine of Chelsea's, you know, youth setup and 50 players on loan or across the globe or whatever it is. So for him to get some game time, I think he's relatively promising.
Well, totally. I mean, I think because he's from a football family, I mean, there was no way he was signing for them unless there was like a plan in place for him. I mean, even if he did go out alone, I mean, I'd love to see our players playing for a Dutch team. I mean, that's great. What I really, really love about the attitude of the Barnsley keeper, he did an interview in the newspaper. It was the Barnsley keeper, isn't it? Where he said,
Davis.
He was like, oh, I'm really, really disappointed not to be called up. Well, I'll just get my head down and keep on going. That wasn't happening before. You're getting people in the Championship kicking off and saying, all right, forget it then. I didn't get a call. I've scored 3 goals in my last 6 games. I'm not in the squad. I'm retiring from international football. I mean, that doesn't happen anymore because these kids were a winning team as well.
That development and evolution feels natural. It's still a squad with a shed load of experience in it. That balance between having a lot of internationals now have got lots of caps and have played in really big games, and a few kind of younger, uncapped, but potentially capable players coming in is really good.
And what's great about the younger players, I must admit, I was someone who was thinking I would have liked to have seen more come through earlier. However, the positive way of looking at it now is I'm not sure whether the teams were playing. Yeah, they'll be aware of who Brooks is to an extent, but they won't have the knowledge of him like Coleman and Roberts will, having seen him come up through the ranks and so on. then they won't have been thinking a long time about how they're going to deal with Brooks if he comes on. Similar-ish to Woodburn, less so now. But even with Woodburn, I mean, what can Ireland analyse other than the brief things he's done with us? I mean, there's not much to look at, really. So it's really great. I mean, even like Ampadu, I mean, no one, if he comes on in a game, they won't have a plan in place for shutting him down or tackling him. Or attacking any weaknesses he may have, which apparently he doesn't have any. But so yeah, I think it's worked out really well for us.
And where there are these players who maybe haven't got a lot of first team football, and Woodburn still counts as one of those, you can still judge his quality. Coleman's obviously very good at judging his quality. So we haven't got these guys who've been in the squad for ages and ages, but are they quite ready? Are they not? When Woodburn was in the squad, he was able to play, and without him, we probably wouldn't be talking the way we're talking now. So in terms of other teams being able to make a plan for a player, we'll wait for players are ready so that, you know, when you put them in the squad, if you need to, you can stick them straight in and exactly. They can do something magic. And okay, he's probably going to be a player at a better level than some of the other young players in our squad, but still.
But just looking on Wiki now on the recent call-ups, but I mean, for various reasons, many of these are injured, of course, but you know, no Davis, for instance, no Jazz Richards in this squad, no James Collins, Adam Matthews. Some of the other uncapped players, Gethin Jones, Joe Walsh, there's no Dee Evans, no Emery Hughes, no Harry Wilson, no Tom Bradshaw. So there's competition for places. You know, Lee Evans knows at Wigan, he started the season well. Lee Evans knows that he's got to keep, like I say, getting his head down, all those cliches that go out in the press, you know, if he's going to get in the squad again, which is great. When we touched on this on Monday, you know, with Parkview lot, is that for a long time, really, we've known pretty much that you could pick the squad beforehand.
Absolutely.
And you're arguing over maybe three or four places. We like those arguments, don't get me wrong, you know. I've had a couple in the last couple of days over Marley Watkins over Harry Wilson. But neither of those are going to trouble the first 11 or the old school sort of match day 14.
What about David Brooks then? Could he trouble the match day 14?
As long as he keeps troubling Talk Sport. I mean, anything else is, everything else is a bonus. I mean, just watching them froth at the mouth. And a quick shout out to, I haven't prepared this, I think it's Dan Roberts.
Yeah.
So they put out the tweet somewhere along the lines of there's, I don't know, 11 or 12 of Wales' squad that are born in England, you know, thoughts. Quoted the tweet back and said something like, 16 of Wales' squad, the Euro semi-finalists, none of England's are, thoughts. Which I think won Twitter for the day and had a, you know, humongous amount of sort of retweets of favourites. Apparently Cookie's magic coffee has worked again.
Yeah.
Apparently this was all sorted out with a coffee. Yeah. Him and Pidgey, I think that's...
Do you know where they go for Pidgey? Where do they go for coffee?
I don't know. Things happen when he goes there. Yeah. And they went and met him because he'd... Apparently, I don't know if this is the case, but apparently, so the story goes, he'd been told a couple of days in advance he was going to be picked by England, and he said, okay, fine. And he's born in Warrington, I think. He doesn't hear about the Wales call-up until the day it's announced. England make the announcement like 10-20 minutes afterwards, but they make it on the basis that he's in. Wales are completely oblivious to this. There's been no contact. And so, of course, then he drops out because he sort of said, I've given my word to those, but this is not about burning bridges. I think was he man of the match in the final, I think, as well?
He was certainly sort of their player of the tournament, wasn't he?
But returned straight away to the 21s. I watched him, found a feed online when I was away in the run-up to the last internationals, beat Switzerland. He was brilliant. He was the best player on the park. Mm. I think he scored the first. He really has got the composure, the touches. Bossed the Sheffield Derby, which means he's an instant legend, obviously, amongst the red half of that city. Great clip we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
the
fullback
is still looking for him.
Mega, mega skillful. And what's really interesting, though, talking about kind of the switching between teams, a friend of mine sent me a link to this, and if you kind of analyse his tweets about like international stuff, when he was talking about being kind of man of the tournament in Toulon and so on, there wasn't really any reference to England. He was just saying, like, typically, you know, when Gareth Bale tweets, he's like, always gets FAW in there on the tag and all that kind of stuff. But I think he was just saying, David Brooks played in this tournament and I was the best guy. I don't think there was an affinity. I think it was just a guy really pragmatically playing some football to a good standard. Kind of my understanding is it was never really an issue.
He looks really talented in the same way Harry wasn't. They've got all the tricks, all the skills, and it's another thing doing it, you know, in first team football or international level or anything like that. But again, if you want to try and change a game, it's rare you've had game changers on the bench as options. We've got so few players to pick from. Our game changers, you have to start them.
Yeah.
So they have these options like Woodburn. And kind of like, Woodburn, he's yesterday's man already. It's now David Brooks. Yeah. You know, the next time we announce a squad, who's it going to be? The response was to be expected, of course.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's kind of fun to kind of wind people up on Twitter, but ultimately, it doesn't really matter what English commentators or journalists think. It's irrelevant. We're our own football nation. We'll call up who we want. If someone doesn't want to be called up, that's no loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fine on social media. But I almost don't really like us framing it in terms of that. I mean, I read that in Coleman's press conference when the day the squad was announced, he mentioned, I think it was a throwaway reference to ruffling some feathers across the bridge. It's not, why even mention that? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Why, you know, you're here to talk about Wales and the Welsh squad and this player who's clearly committed to being in our squad. Don't worry about that. Don't give them what they want. You know, that's what Talk Sport want.
Yeah, I would agree with that 9 times out of 10. I just felt like that was him just being bullish and just getting himself in the moment of, right, chest puffed out, ready to just go to action at the most important point of his career.
Basically. It sort of heads off the questions, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It gives a little soundbite. And
yeah.
If the questions want to come, he sort of says, "Well, I've given you something." That's how I kind of read that one. But you know, I can kind of see what you're saying. But I mean, tabloid media are going to find stuff like that anyway.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw a lot of Sheffield United fans kind of going, "Best of luck to him." Actually, don't blame him. You know, why would you choose England over Wales at the moment? And then a lot of people just sort of talking about how they didn't really care because you know these are clearly English people. Just have very little attachment to the national team at the moment, which I kind of find quite sad, really. But for them to sort out, and there was a couple of sort of Sheffield United fans kind of got in touch with us on Twitter, sort of saying, "Well, I'm going to take an interest in the Wales games because Brooks has been called up. That's happened in the past from other clubs."
And Leon pulled up that really great quote from Brooks,
where he was
saying, "Look, like my mum's Welsh.
Yeah,
it's legit. He's not like a cynical careerist, Adrian." Durham? I can't remember who that guy is. I mean, it's kind of ludicrous to say these guys are choosing Wales to enhance their contracts. I mean, that's just not how football works. Like, Sheffield United aren't giving him a new contract off this court. Yeah, if he scores a hat-trick, maybe. That can change things. Mm. But even then, not financially, it would be better to follow an English path up to a certain point where he moves to Real or whoever. He feels Welsh and English. That's normal, and he's chosen to go with Wales. That's fine.
Gone are the days where Vinnie Jones and Ben Thatcher get to their mid-20s and realise they're not having an England career and come and play a few games. It's a young lad who's, to all intents and purposes, seems like he's a hot prospect even if he's English, you know, even if he decides he wants to be a future England international. For as much as I want to or care about looking at it in those terms, says something good about us then. If he thinks, right, I can tear it up for England this tournament, but really, this is where I want to be in the Welsh setup. That's a really good sign about where we're at and where we're still going.
There was that brilliant photograph before the last round of internationals, and it was Woodburn and Ampadu running alongside Bale, and Bale was this like massive ubermensch, and they had these two little boys just looking up at him and smiling. That's what you get when you commit to Wales. You get to play with like proper elite level. You can't do that with England.
It was Fabian Delph.
Yeah.
Which is the other one that kicked off. Yeah.
You know that creep from Wales Online?
Yeah. Just chucking out random numbers of appearances. So I thought, well, if you're going to do that, just pick Joe Ledley. Joe Ledley played like 200 games by the time he's 20. It means nothing.
Yeah.
In any comparison sense, it's about luck. It's about an injury to a player who you then get your chance. It's about being, you know.
Speaking of which, maybe Brooks or Woodburn will get their chance if Bale doesn't play.
Yeah, so that's another big talk.
Is that a real danger? I mean, I read just before we started recording that he's still meeting up with the squad tomorrow morning.
You don't stop these players from meeting up with the squad. I think one of the issues is if it is a muscle strain, I'm not sure where in the leg the muscle strain is.
Mm.
It's a long round trip to Georgia, and I think there's probably some reservation, but they're not like on EasyJet, are they? Let's be honest.
No. What I've gathered is he's fine.
Yeah.
But like I know that they're mega cautious with him at Real now in terms of games played and time and stuff. Like playing him back into form and stuff, but it's not a problem. It's okay. He'll be playing.
Zidane wasn't particularly negative about it. You know, he didn't seem to think there was any big issue. He said something like, take it a day at a time, see how it goes. No one seems to be saying he's a major, major injury doubt. I was reading that perhaps Real Madrid are now a bit more cautious around him because it turns out that he's only played sort of something like 57% of available game time since his move. He's had 11 different injuries in 4 years. So they're obviously maybe getting a bit more wary about the need to manage that risk. But it's all the same statistics suggest it's been better this season. He's more like 75% now he's playing this season. And
I think the other thing to bear in mind, this is not you know, gigs at United. Madrid players play for their country. Yeah. Whichever the country is, they always play for their country.
It's hugely important to them because Bale is ideally their successor to Ronaldo, is like the marquee player, and they need him playing at World Cups because big players play at World Cups. And there's a genuine, like, culturally, you're admired for playing for your national team. There would never be a suggestion of, oh, you should miss this, or you should retire, or it's not convenient to us. It's all part of, I mean, Real's kind of whole ethos is based on being the most prestigious, biggest, most important club. And they want Bale playing in a World Cup semi-final. They need him to be there.
You'd get past George and I first. I mean, it's like a semi-final, but
it's normal for us when we get called for tournaments.
There's nothing about Gareth Bale's track record that suggests he's even going to let Real Madrid tell him that you can't play in these two massive games if the doctors at the FAW decide, yeah, do you know what, you're fine, you're fit.
Craig Bellamy hired a private jet to fly. Gareth Bale would just cycle there, potentially, I think.
But yeah, it's interesting, if he doesn't make it, in the past we talked about Lawrence, but now you'd have Woodburn, surely.
I think so, surely. Laughing when I was listening to what Leon was saying about Lawrence in the last podcast. And I don't know kind of if it was kind of articulated quite the right way, but I know what he means. He still feels, for a guy who's maybe a little bit older now, he still seems very raw and very, you're not sure that his decision making is always going to be that good. I didn't think he was brilliant against Cardiff on the weekend. And for a big game, I wouldn't fancy him to step in and have a big impact. Whereas you watch Woodburn in just a few minutes, you think that is already a kind of big game player, a player whose footballing brain decision making is just spot on at 17.
If you look at Lawrence, in that kind of comparison, and linked to what Leon was saying, Lawrence has gone to a smaller club each time. He's kind of gone from United to Leicester and now Derby. So I'm not writing him off by any means, and he looks a competent player, but his career has been a downward trajectory of clubs, and a lot of that can be just mentality based if he can't kind of hack it at that pressure wise,
which is as it is actually with most players who emerge at top Premier League clubs. They'll find that, and I suspect this is what's happened to him, he'll find his level around about where he is now, and that'll be his career.
But we play so few games, we don't play friendlies, that you can't demand or feel slighted that he doesn't get a run of games in the parlance for Wales. He's going to get a chance here, a chance there, the odd start, which he's had, and he's got to do more. He's got 8 caps now. He's probably, what, 2 shots on goal in those? That's the thing, isn't it? It's not like he's, you know, he's been unlucky, he's created loads of stuff, and he's made a huge impression. He kind of a bit, friendly appearances in the Rams Euros, did okay. And he's played left, he's played right, he's played off the striker, he's played as the striker. So Coleman's giving him plenty of chance. Yeah. You know, 8 caps by the age of 23, better than most players get.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be a decent squad player for us for 10 years or whatever, but a few more glimpses of his promise is not what we need in the next 2 games. Didn't really see that much in the last 2 that suggested he's going to be the kind of guy who stands up and makes it happen.
But it was all about the result, and it's not about these champagne performances either. So I mean, you've got to frame the criticism of individual players in respect of the overall occasion and the other sort of circumstances.
To be fair to Lawrence, he was part of an attacking system which failed miserably in the first half against Austria. You know, it wasn't down to him, it was a much more tactical thing and team thing.
It's too late in life for me to be interested in tactics or formations. I don't want to go there. That's okay for these two, but I can imagine you'll probably have to work the squad a couple of times like you did between the last 2 games because of all of the travel for the second game, which you flipped on his head now. It's the big trip first, the long trip first. And that's bothered me for a while, is that although the fixtures, like in the last campaign, I think have been really good for us, Ireland's games are in Dublin and Cardiff. I think that does matter. But you trust them to get it right because more often than not in the last couple of years, they've got it right. And we've lost, I think it's one qualifier in 18, 19, 20 games.
I think at this stage,
you can win one in that period.
It just comes down to willpower. Yeah, I think there are kind of like scientific facts of performance. Yeah. Like, I completely accept that. But when it's qualifying for a World Cup, I think you just force yourself to win. And they've got kind of a track record for doing that. And you bring the performance out. Mm.
I think it's nice that there's, for a campaign that's been disappointing in some ways, we're getting to that end now with these kind of must-win games, and that kind of the buzz is there, isn't it? The Woodburn and Brooks things help it. The Ramsey seeming like he's coming to a bit of form helps it. The Ben Davis's form helps it. There's something. It still feels exciting to kind of look about what this team might do.
And
in
not
these
just
games.
That. If you look at Welsh football in the broadest sense, this time last year, pretty much all four in the English pyramid have got off to absolute stinkers at the start of the season. And I think they all fired. Did they all fire the manager? Or Swansea fired several. I think they all did because Newport and Wrexham both. Just a rotten start to the season. Cardiff top of the table. Wrexham briefly made it to the top of the table. Yeah. You know, in game action on the weekend. Newport started off.
Yeah,
right.
much better start.
Swansea not so great. And the Welsh Prem's a bit more competitive as well, which I think it makes it a bit more interesting to more sort of casual observers. So I think there's a little bit more of a. When the Winds have got off to a good start, there's a little bit. Did well in it too long. You know, didn't lose. It feels a bit more positive than it did sort of this time last year. If you discounted the whole still basking in the whole European Championships and glory. Which just for me just reassures that you know, this is built on firm foundations. Yeah. And certainly far firmer than it ever has been in the past. Not that there's a huge causal link between how the clubs are doing and the national team in that regard. You mentioned Ben Davis. Beautiful little finish on the weekend.
He's in great form.
It still is the weekend as we're recording, but it won't be when it goes out.
And I hope he's on the left for us again in these games. I think one of our weaknesses has been at least one fullback on either side to offer something. You know,
you can't see Neil Taylor coming back in.
No, I don't think so.
I'd be amazed if that happens.
No, so. That finish was just. I mean, okay, it was just one finish, but that wasn't a lucky hit. He didn't blast it against the keeper and get the rebound. He just clipped it very, very chill. It was nice, and kind of like his like athleticism down the wing is like a huge, huge weapon as well.
Spurs fans are adoring. Him at the minute, yeah, he's getting a lot of praise, and he did, I mean, in the last podcast, Leon sort of said he never gets the praise on Match of the Day, and he did this week. To be fair to Match of the Day and to Alan Shearer, Trippier did get more praise, admittedly, and that is a scientific analysis and in no way biased. But yeah, he motors up and down, and the show of his goal, starting position and ending, and the passing, a beautiful goal as well for Spurs. Fair play, and he has to put in a bit of a shift to get onto the end of that. But yeah, beautiful finish. And he's made a lot of assists.
Yeah.
Hard stats, Rich.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
Yeah.
I think more than any other Premier League defender, isn't he, for goals and assists so far this season? I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Yeah. A great tweet from somebody that sort of said, amazed that Ben Davis isn't in the England squad, which was clearly just angling for a spot and got more bites than he was even hoping for. which I quite liked. And my other favourite tweet, Ben Davis related tweet, is from, I think it was Coral the Bookies, saying how Danny Rose has a poster of Ben Davis on his bedroom wall, which I thought was quite charming, because this time last year Davis wasn't getting games and Rose was England's first choice left back and everything else. So yeah, anything else?
Any predictions?
Well, who are yours?
Well, yeah,
another two wins.
I said mine months ago,
absolutely.
Really nervous about making any predictions at the moment. I mean, there are two games that are there to be won, I guess. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we spluttered a little bit or something goes wrong to give us a draw in one or the other. But actually, we're not mathematically done if we draw one, is it? I was reading this earlier. The next day, the Saturday, he's got a couple of massive games on it. Bosnia and Belgium.
Apparently that is the key. We covered this in the last one in a little bit more detail. I think that is a key fixture in terms of the second place.
If Bosnia don't beat Belgium, they're out of it in terms of getting to the same points we'd be on. I think possibly, or they could get 13 and Greece the same. Greece, if they don't beat Cyprus, they then can't get the kind of requisite number of points.
There's a politically laden fixture.
Whichever you want.
And Bosnia have got injuries. I think Pjanic is out.
No.
There's a couple I read earlier, they've got a couple of players out as well, which makes it even harder for them.
But I don't really want to rely on that, obviously, but you know, that's there. And I think the other way around, if assuming we do win both games, it would be such a bizarre chain of results would have to happen for us not to get into the playoffs then, that it's almost unthinkable. So the way we've got to look
and
at it.
And it's no longer the 1980s where those bizarre chain of events happened routinely. This is a new era, a different era, and a different group of players. We've said it before, haven't we? You know, they're not interested in history.
No.
our history of
relentless
failure.
That only happens to bad teams. Good teams never have bizarre.
To actually answer the question, though, I'll go on a limb and maybe a couple of 1-0 wins. You know, close, tight games, both of them.
I think I would prefer scoring in the 9th minute and then just grinding it out than leaving it as late
mind
as
you, we
did in Moldova.
We don't defend Leeds, mind, if we score anywhere other than that, do we? So.
No, that's a good point, actually.
I think the dream is like a Chris Gunter 95th minute win against Ireland. That's just beyond the realms of my fantasy. That would be incredible.
Or maybe we assume that Serbia drop a load of points and we just go for goals. Three at the back. Win 5-0 in Georgia and we're top of the group then.
You're going to sound like a real killjoy if you don't go 2 wins, do you?
Yeah.
But Chris Gunter, if he plays both games, which he almost didn't thanks to Marley Watkins' attempted assault on the weekend, we've got 83 caps and 2 behind Gary Speed, which is remarkable. And no goals. Even Joey Jones got 1 in 72 caps.
I think we need a jingle for the bit of the podcast where you do a Chris Gunter caps update.
Yes,
it's a real beloved feature.
Willing him on. I tell you, we might else hit a milestone, of course, because he's been stuck on 26 goals for a while. His Bale.
Yeah.
Rushes on 28 all time.
Oh, there we go.
2 goals in 2 games, nice. If he's fit.
And then 1 in the playoffs.
Or a hat trick against Ireland. Yeah. Would be even better. Actually, I'd forego a Gunter.
Well,
95th
Bale's finish against Dortmund,
of course,
was just
that?
Ridiculous. And like, he's a level of player. That is nothing remotely fortunate about that. That was just all technique.
What is brilliant, yeah, because what is brilliant is he doesn't hammer it.
No.
And neither is it completely cushioned. Do you remember the goal he scored for Spurs? I think it's against Stoke, where a cross comes over, and it's a really athletic kind of volley. It must be kind of almost like shoulder height. He just volleys it and he cushions it back over. It's a stunning goal, nice. Right? That goal is neither walloped or it's that. It's just beautiful technique.
Yeah.
So the other fixtures, guys, go on, you called them up earlier.
So Austria are home to Serbia. I don't know if we really see any significance in that now, if we assume Serbia are going to win the group. If they were to drop points and draw in Austria, then actually it gives them a little bit of a nervous last round of fixtures, isn't it? So you never know, it's worth keeping an eye on that. They don't kick off until after our game's finished, so... Something to watch in the pub after the game, I guess. And then Ireland are home to Moldova, which you'd expect them to win.
Yeah.
And then Serbia have got Georgia at home when we play Ireland.
Who did we mention off air is going to mention Astrid Ferdinand? Did we agree? I can't remember. No?
I have no part in that. To make that crystal clear, nothing to do with Russ.
Over a century's worth of it, just dredging it out just to give a little bit of needle to that game in Austria. Yeah, I mean, Austria, that's it, my campaign's over, but do players like that switch off?
I mean, they've got some really good players, but on the other hand, they've also got some pretty average players, and they're in a terrible space, so I don't know whether...
Defensively, I thought they were really poor against us.
I don't know whether it's possible for them to raise it.
I don't think you can argue with Serbia being where they are in the group, to be fair. I'm just annoyed that we gave them an easy point twice. That's really...
I mean, I think particularly the home game, like the away game, I felt like, on the balance...
Yeah, a draw was probably...
I remember Gareth Hughes saying they were always going to score through one of those through balls. It was a really good, strong away point, but the home game, it was the kind of, we hit the post and then they score. That's, things like that change history. Is that kind of real, kind of important moment? But as it turns out, I think it might just end up giving us like a beautiful playoff moment. So that's fine.
We've got Ledley, Davis and Williams will miss Ireland if they're booked in Georgia.
I'm here for the Gunter Caps tally. You're here for the booking.
Yeah, you need a much bleaker jingle for that bit, I think.
So it's him again.
So it's Ashley Williams, Ben Davis and Joe Ledley are booking away. I don't know if anyone knows, if someone's booked in the last game, are they out for the playoff first leg? I don't know if it counts under those.
I would hazard a guess at no.
Because that would be logical, but then it's...
Yeah.
Like you wait for FIFA, isn't it?
I would hazard a guess it depends if it's going to screw us over and then they will make the decision. If it's going to screw Italy or Spain or Germany, then probably not.
It's crazy, isn't it? 2 bookings in potentially 12 games.
It's ridiculous.
Like, would it be maybe if it was like a violent conduct red card, would that be different to if it was, I don't know really. I cannot imagine it would be an extra booking. We could just pause this and just go and look it up.
Yeah.
Someone tweet us and tell us.
Yeah. Tosh Fran will know.
Yeah.
Tosh Fran will know. Mark, tell us. I would imagine they probably do, actually, just because he's the sort of stupid...
You think they do carry it?
I honestly don't know, but I would not be at all surprised if there's a stupid rule that says they do. It's particularly harsh on defenders as well, because... And it does disadvantage the smaller teams as well.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
I would say you don't want, even though he's been playing poorly for Everton by all accounts, you don't want to lose Ashley Williams.
No.
Oh, God.
That's just... That doesn't kind of bear thinking about, really.
Especially if you think where we've kind of accommodated players missing from our backline before by switching Gunter and putting Jazz in or James Collins being able to, you know, we could be in a position where come November, Jazz Richards isn't an option, James Collins isn't an option. If Ashley Williams is out as well, heaven forbid if it was Ashley Williams and Ben Davis both missing, we've got real problems then. So
you're into your Lockyers.
Yeah.
Rise King Ampadu.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Russ has just called it. That's normally what I would say. But
yeah, he was actually.
Yeah. But if it was, I wouldn't doubt he'd be right. But I mean, I guess the only way of looking at it is, again, it's going to depend on who we're playing in the playoffs, because we might have, a relatively speaking, minus the drama of the situation in the playoffs, a game or two games we will look at and think, yeah, we should win those.
Because we will be seeded.
So probably,
it's pretty certain
exactly.
That we will be seeded. So you avoid, presumably...
So really, in terms of the suspensions, the most important one is not getting suspended for Ireland, really. So you could deal with, hopefully, easier if it happened in Ireland.
Yeah.
And it did follow on, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think most likely we're looking at Northern Ireland, Iceland, Sweden, shows that those are the most likely sort of playoff qualifiers who wouldn't be seeded. As it stood after the last games, but that may change.
None of whom worry me overly. They'll be hype around Iceland, obviously, because of what they did. But
and wouldn't stand a chance.
And none of which, you know, for all that yellow card thing we're talking about, might happen for smaller nations. They'd all be in exactly the same position.
Yeah,
they can't afford to lose two or three key players. So
let's leave it there. We might next time we do this, get around the mic. We could be. I think the players they get. Drawn really quickly as well, don't they?
Yeah, then
so
November,
I think it could even be probably hold it back. Yeah, the actual draw for because they're in November, but the draw for them I think
it's
next actually. Week. It's after that Ireland game within about 3 or 4 days because it'll all be known, obviously. May hold it back then until we know. Jen, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
and until next time.